Matthew chapter 7. I want to read three passages to you today. The first one from Matthew chapter 7, and then briefly, two other passages that will help us to understand this portion in Matthew chapter 7. The message is entitled today, Dogs and Swine, How to Deal with Them. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest haply they trample them under their feet and turn and rend you. Acts chapter 13. Verse 15. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto, this is Paul and Barnabas, sent unto them, saying, Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And Paul stood up, and beckoning with the hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, hearken. And then he gives his discourse. Look at verse 44. And the next Sabbath, almost the whole city was gathered together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things which were spoken by Paul and blasphemed. And Paul and Barnabas spake out boldly and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, seeing ye thrust it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. In chapter 17, verse 10, And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, when they were come thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Many of them, therefore, believed. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know our Bible seems to be so small, and yet such a variety of subjects thy Son has spoken about. We thank you for those we have considered this past week, and for those in thy will that we shall consider this week. How wise is thy Son in knowing what to tell us about. We thank you for this, our Father. We pray that we shall not be like others who, having heard thy Son speak, say, Not so, Lord. But we shall say, Yes, Lord. Teach us to understand the wisdom of thy Son and the wisdom of being obedient to thy Son. We thank you for this hour. We look forward to looking into thy word, and we thank you for all those who are here to feed upon the good things of the scriptures. So prepare their hearts to receive them, and prepare the lips of him who shall speak. And thou knowest our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, because thou hast promised to do this if we confess them. And that is what we do. We commit this hour into thy hand. Bless us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In my Bible, you only have to look on the other side of the page to see the truth of what I told you last week. Last week, the message was the wisdom of not believing everything you have heard, and the wisdom of thinking through and learning by experience to interpret the things Christ said. I'll give you this example. Listen to one of the verses I read to you last week. It says, "Give to him that asketh thee." Listen to the text this week. "Give not." Do you understand? Last week, "Give." This week, "Give not." So you say, then that first verse did not mean to indiscriminately give everything to everybody. Of course not. That's what I told you. I told you that you should consider the Word of God as a whole, and at times that isn't even necessary. All you have to do is to read another verse, another chapter, another book. But in the case today, it is simply you have to turn to the last part of the Sermon on the Mount, and it balances out the first part of the Sermon on the Mount. The first part says, "Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow, turn not thou away." And today our Savior says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine." There are times when we are to give. There are times when we are not to give. And listen carefully. The way that our Savior speaks of some of God's creatures, dogs and swine. Do you understand? What is your estimate of the human race? There is good in every man. All of us are God's children. The Lord Jesus said, "Some of you are dogs and swine." Would you contradict what he says? Dogs and swine. This is the sadness of what Christ has said about creatures who were originally created in God's image and likeness, that they have fallen so low. It says, "Knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and their senseless heart was darkened." And now, looking upon these original creatures who were made in the image and likeness of God, the Lord Jesus said, "Dogs and swine." And John the Baptist describes them this way. He saw some coming out to be baptized. He said, "You offspring of vipers, you serpents, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And the arch enemy of God in the book of Revelation is called the beast. You say, well, is this rare, this description of God's creatures? No, because our Lord calls his creatures dogs and swine. John the Baptist calls them vipers. And the Apostle Paul calls them dogs. And Peter calls them dogs and swine. And John calls them dogs. You say, this is a description of all of God's people that are now lost? No. That is why I told you, whenever you read a scripture like this, you do not go up to the world and say, "You are all dogs and swine and vipers." that's what some would do. Now, some of you are. Do you understand that? And some of you are not. That is why I read two passages. I read one passage from Acts chapter 13, and it says, some to whom the apostle Paul was preaching, it said, they contradicted the things Paul said, and they blasphemed. And Paul said, you have judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life. You have thrust the truth from you. Now, they're dogs. They're swine. But when he came to Berea and preached the word of God, those there received it with all readiness of mind, and they examined the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They weren't dogs or swine. They were God's creatures in his image and likeness, though marred, they were God's creatures. And you realize that some who are receptive to the word of God are described this way. And here is what some people cannot grasp. I tell you concerning all mankind, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But at the same time, if one of these sinners hears the word of God and receives it with all readiness of mind, our Savior, in the parable of the sower, says, some with a good and honest heart. Do you realize that some sinners have good and honest hearts? And when they hear the truth, they will honestly respond to the truth. And do you realize that some sinners have dog-like and swine-like hearts? And when they hear the truth, they will contradict it and they will blaspheme? So, for that reason, when we look at mankind, we have to understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But even though all are sinners, there are different categories of sinners. And some of them are to be looked upon as Berean-like, and some are to be looked upon as animal-like. And that takes discernment. That is what I told you. That is why when you read an exhortation in God's Word, you have to think it through, and you have to pray to God for discernment. And then, at times, you must determine whether a man is dog-like and swine-like, or whether this man, listening to the Scripture, is one of God's creatures, fallen, but he desires to be saved. You say, well, then I just cannot go and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the commission. You may. But, having preached the gospel to the creatures, their reaction to the preaching of the gospel determines whether you preach it to them again. And, I say this, it is impossible for you to look upon any man before you've ever preached the gospel to him the first time and say, you are a dog, you are a swine, and for that reason, I'm not going to preach the gospel to you at all. That's what we would like to do, you see. Why is it that you're not preaching to these people that you frequent with? The reason is that the Bible says, to give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast my pearls before swine. And I've considered these people dogs and swine. Have you spoken to them yet and offered them an opportunity to believe the gospel? No. But I have determined that they are dogs and swine, and I'm obeying the Scripture. I say this, that until a man has the truth presented to him, and then he adversely responds, you have no right to constitute him dog-like or swine-like. But I assure you this, that if you have offered the word of God to a sinner, and he contradicts and he blasphemes, and he tramples underfoot the word of God, then you have every scriptural right to constitute him a dog and a swine, and to say nothing to him again. Now do you understand? When it says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, it does not in the least relieve us of our responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But having approached these creatures and seen their response to the truth of God that was preached to them, then, with the aid of the Spirit of God, we determine whether we are to give, whether we are to cast before them, or whether we are to refrain, to give not, and to cast not our pearls before them, because they are like dogs and swine. So, a Christian has to have some degree of discernment. He has to have some sort of thought when he goes out trying to spread the gospel to the world. He's challenged by it, but then he may not indiscriminately give this gospel to everybody, but having attempted to give the gospel, then he sees that some are like those at Antioch in Pisidia, and some of those are like men in Berea. Let me tell you how I can remember to this day disobeying the scripture. It was an impish little thing to do, but I was in Canada, and I would go in a restaurant every day at lunchtime to eat, and as I would go in, I would go to some of the booths and give out tracts. And other people that went to school with me also came into the restaurant, and so I had gone around and given tracts to some of the people. One of the booths had this rough-looking man sitting in it, and I offered him a tract. He said, "Get out of here. I don't want anything to do with that." Words to that effect. And so a fellow student of mine came in, and I said, "Look," I said, "here's a tract." I said, "Why don't you go over and offer it to that man sitting in that booth over there?" And so he said, "Yes, brother, I'll do it. I know the man's name. His name is Milton Wooten." And he took it, and he went over, and he said, "Here. Here is a tract for you." That man said, "I told you to get out of here." And he crumbled up the tract and threw it on the floor. And he came back to me and he said, "That fellow was rather violent, wasn't he?" And I was trying to suppress my laughter. Said, "Yes, yes, he was." You see how you can disobey the word of God? I didn't know it at that time. And so I did it in my innocency. But I could have endangered the man's life. What if the man had jumped up and buffeted him with his fist? Because the Bible says that the swine shall trample what you say underfoot. And it says, they can turn and rend you. And I don't know what I would have done had this man beaten up my friend for trying to preach the gospel to him. But having offered this man a tract and seen his reaction, then I understand that this man is of a different nature. And the Lord says, you don't have to offer that man anything else. But you must be discreet. You must be wise. Unless they say absolutely no, and even then, at a later date, they may change. That's what's so good. Our Lord himself speaks a parable about two sons, and the order to work is given to them. "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he said, "I will not." And so you say, well, that's the end of him. No, because it says, later, he repented and went and worked. So, unless there is a definite out-and-out rejection of the truth, then you can give that man another chance. That is why I read the portions in Acts 13 and in Acts chapter 17. There are other scriptures I want to tell you about as well. Because had I read the entire portion in Acts chapter 13, you would have found this, that the first week that Paul preached in the synagogue, there was indecision. Some said yes. Others had no negative response. There was just indifference. But when Paul went back again, now notice, he went back a second time, even though some had not received his message the first time. When he went back the second time, and the whole city had come out to hear, it said that the Jews became jealous. And it said they contradicted and blasphemed what the Apostle Paul said. And then that's when the Apostle Paul said, "Seeing you thrust the word of God from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn unto the Gentiles. It was fitting that we should speak the word of God to you first, but seeing you react this way, now we are turning away from you." This is what God will do in his word. He will tell you what to do, and then God will give you illustrations of how to do it. And that is what is so beautiful. You may find illustrations of Matthew 7, verse 6, in Matthew 10, and in Luke 10. How is it? He says that when you go preaching the gospel, when you go into a city, seek out in that city someone who is worthy and say, "Peace be unto this house." And if a son of peace be there, all is well. But it says, if a son of peace is not there, and he rejects what you have to say, it says, your peace shall return unto you. And then, as you leave, you shake the dust off of your feet, and you say, even the dust of your city that clingeth to our feet, we cast off against you. But did you notice what Christ did? That he went first and said, peace be unto this house. And if one was there who received the message like the Bereans, then your peace remains. But even though you said, peace be unto this house, if there is one who rejects and will have nothing to do with the Messiah whom you are announcing, then it says your peace that you pronounce will return to you. You do not have to be afraid of saying peace when there may not be a son of peace there. This is for all the Calvinists who are ever so careful about saying Christ died for the ungodly, but just certain of the ungodly. You may say peace to any man. And then if your peace returns, then evidently he's not among the elect, you understand. But you say peace to every man. And if he receives that peace, thank God. If he rejects that peace, then the peace returns to you, and as you go out, notice, you shake the dust off your feet, and the Lord says it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You see how tenderly, you see how generously the Lord would have us to go and preach the gospel. But the gospel having been once rejected with finality, you see what the Lord says? Is the doom of those who reject, it says, more tolerable for them in that day than for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them in that day. And you remember that fire and brimstone fell down out of heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? You say, well, even though our Lord tells us to deal kindly in a gentlemanlike manner with the world, when they reject the gospel, you make it clear to them the consequences of rejecting the gospel. Indeed, you do. And beware in telling people that they are dogs and swine. Be discerning about it. If someone asks you and says, you know that I am a creature in God's image and likeness, you could bring to them discreetly the fact, indeed you are. And you realize, I will tell you this, that even though we are fallen, we are still spoken of as being in God's image and likeness. You say, how is that? It says it in Genesis 9, it says it in 1 Corinthians 11, and it says it in James 3. It says, why do we shed man's blood when man sheds blood? It says, because he's created in the image and likeness of his maker. You say, and that's after, yes. And it says in 1 Corinthians 11, that we are in the image and likeness of God. And it says also in James 3, we curse man who is made in the likeness of God. And so even though we are fallen, but we are still made in the likeness and image of God. But the sad thing is this, that having fallen, we can become so deformed that the image can no longer be recognized. And God looks upon us and says, you're more like dogs and swine and serpents and beasts. And so remember, that is the depth to which you can fall. And at the same time, there are heights to which you can rise if you receive the message. I thank God for this, that what I am able to do for you now, it would not have been had Christ not saved me. It says concerning the Corinthians, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. And when a man is saved, he is seated and clothed and put in his right mind. He is able to think, and God elevates him. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we have been lifted from the dust and the dunghill and made to sit with princes. This is what God tells us. And so this is how high a man can be lifted. And we can recognize, even in a fallen state, a likeness to our Creator. But when man is vile and blasphemes, he looks and reminds us of the lower creation, dogs and swine and serpents and beasts. And this is what God tells us. All right. It says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. But do you realize that in saying this, he first assumes that you have tried to give that which is holy and that which is pearl-like to the world. And whatever they do with it, they do not alter the truth of what we are dispensing to them. What is it that I am giving to you this morning? That which I am giving to you this morning is holy and it is pearls. Why? Because that is the description of God's truth. It is holy. There is sacredness to the truth of God. And it is pearls. There is preciousness to the truth of God. And that is why I wonder about those who do not believe in the inspiration of Scripture and who so flippantly deal with the holy writ. You understand that God says it is holy. And you understand that it is precious. And that is the way that we should treat it, and that is the way we should approach it, and that is the way it should rest upon our heart as something that is holy and is something that is sacred. And because it is, this is what God says. He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Here are dogs, and you do not give unto dogs that which is holy, because if so, the sacredness of it is desecrated. And you do not give that which is like pearls to the swine, because if so, the preciousness of it is trampled under their feet and regarded as an unclean thing. And this very thought is given in Hebrews when it says, those who have trampled underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. And God says, my truth is sacred and my truth is precious and I shall not have it desecrated and I shall not have it trampled underfoot. And for that reason, we who are Christians, and some of us would say, well, God would have me again and again, even though they blaspheme, even though they contradict, God would have me to give them the truth. He says, do not do it. He says, my truth is holy. I do not want it desecrated. And my truth is precious. It is like pearls. I do not want it trampled underfoot. And so for that reason, we evaluate a man's reception of what we are giving. And we never forget that it is precious and it is sacred, it is holy, it is pearls, and because of that, we deal with it as such. Because of that, when a man is reluctant to hear, we do not force this upon him, but we keep it, we withhold it, as if there were a great drought in the land and only so much water. And if one will not beneficially use that water, you do not lavish it upon him. You keep back that water. You do not give the truth indiscriminately to those who do not want it because you do harm. And our Lord himself has shown the reactions of men and what is going to happen. And he does not want you to give to dogs that which is holy, even though they would eat it, because this is forbidden by God. And there are certain sacred truths. And if a man's attitude is, I will take anything, and I know some who will take teachings of Jehovah's Witnesses, Unitarians, it makes no difference what it is. It's all religion, and they will swallow it down. And if you invited dogs in to remember the Lord with you, they would remember the Lord with you. They would take of the Lord's Supper, and it would mean absolutely nothing to them. They would eat it. But then you have desecrated the truth of God. But there are some If you tried to give them the truth of God, it would be like casting pearls before swine, and they're not like the dogs that are going to take it and eat it, but they would trample this truth underfoot, and they would turn and rend you. And the Lord Jesus understood about it. When he gave his first message in his hometown, he told the truth. He told the truth about Naaman and about a widow woman. And when they heard the truth of God, it said they led him out of the city to the brow of the hill, and they were going to kill him. Now, what if the Lord went back and said, I must tell you, I must. The Lord said, that's not what is to be done. And in like manner, when the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 22 is preaching the word of God to his own people, those that he would not consider dogs and swine, they turned out to be just that. He was telling them what the Savior spoke to him. He appeared to him and spoke to him. And he said, the Lord told me this. He said, I'm going to send you far hence unto the Gentiles. And it said they gave Paul audience unto that very word. But then they said, away with this man. Such a man is not fit to live upon the earth. And they tried to kill the man. And what is he to do? To keep preaching to them? The centurion settled the matter for Paul. The centurion took him bodily into a place of safety, and he was going to examine him, and then he found out that he was a Roman citizen. But what Paul should have done when he found out that those to whom he was preaching the gospel were dogs and swine, he should have ceased to preach the gospel to them. He did it in Acts chapter 13. He did it in Acts chapter 18. And I will tell you now, in Antioch and Pisidia, he preached the truth. And when they rejected it, he stopped preaching. At Corinth, he did it. But when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, the Apostle Paul again said, we turn to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 22, in Jerusalem, he preached to the Jews. And when they tried to kill him, he was removed from them. And then it says, the last chapter in Acts, chapter 28, people were coming to his household and he preached to them. And it said, some believed and some disbelieved, and there was all sort of debate. And when they left him, they wouldn't be persuaded. He said, all right. He said, you go, but the scripture is being fulfilled. We're going to preach this truth to the Gentiles. So what does the Lord mean when he says, do not cast your pearls before swine. Do not give that which is holy unto the dogs. It means that we have tried to preach the gospel to every creature, but not everyone is going to receive the truth. And if they do not receive it at first, but they will listen again, then we are wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But when there is an out and out rejection of the truth, then there is an out and out rejection of him who refuses to receive the truth. And notice what God does. He says, the blame is placed upon them. The Apostle Paul said, you thrust the word of God from you, and you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. It said, we are going to turn to the Gentiles. And so tell me this morning, what are you, a dog, a swine, or are you like the Bereans? You will receive the truth of God and search the scriptures whether it's so. And if it is so, you say, yes, this is light from heaven, and I'm going to receive it. So by God's grace, all of us who are fallen, let us be Berean-like. Let us not be like dogs or swine. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, would you forgive us for becoming so unlike what thou didst make us in the beginning? But some of us have trusted Christ as Savior, and we are a little more like you now than those who have not been born again. And we are thankful that you tell us, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. We are thankful that even now we can become a little more like thy Son, the Savior. And thou hast told us that one day he is coming, and we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him even as he is, and we then shall again bear that image and likeness that was lost, and a likeness even more precious than that which Adam knew anything about. We thank you for the provided righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. So help us as thy disciples as those who are commissioned as ambassadors for Christ to take the truth to men, and then give us discernment to know when to adjudge them, dogs or swine. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.